I grew up in the land of over 10,000 lakes, just south of the province that boasts over 100,000 lakes. Over 500 million years ago, the farm on which I grew up was covered by a large body of water covering several other nearby states. Thus, many years later, I lived only a short drive or bike ride from any number of lakes which we'd explore via canoe in summer and via ice skates in winter. My closest friend lived only a couple of miles from us, and we'd spend countless hours wading the creeks and rivers near our respective houses, discovering bullheads, crayfish, and, of course, the dreaded bloodsuckers, also known as leeches. They would stretch out, like, Anyway, southwestern Minnesota is now made up of farming communities that have, over time, tiled the wetlands in order to raise more crops. Just 2 miles from our house was once a lake containing an island on which, during an archaeological dig in 1976, was found the oldest dwelling on record in Minnesota, used by the Fox Lake people over 2,000 years ago. These peoples occupied that area for at least 3,000 years. The town of Mountain Lake, located about 3 miles away from this lake and island, was named after the site in 1871, and the lake was drained in 1905. Around 30 years later, a creek running through the town was dammed in order to create a new Mountain Lake lake. Land manipulation is abundant in southwestern Minnesota. At this point, I thought I might steer toward the theme of land management and the water is life movement in Minnesota, but instead I'll continue on a more personal path. The movement bears mentioning, however, and I'd encourage you to peruse information on your own. Not right this second, though. Thomas. Just a suggestion. While meditating on our come to the water theme, the first reaction I had was of English grammar. A loud voice inside me told that one does not come to something, but rather goes to something. My second thought was that this was an invitation, not a report of one's actions. I thought of this congregation, which has been mostly an oasis for me ever since I first attended in 1978, an oasis amidst the larger, demoralizing Mennonite church. I thought of Swan Lake Christian Camp near Vyborg, South Dakota, where I spent a week or two every summer for about 12 years and felt the healing rivers in the form of the spirit of love far stronger than any other place on earth. I thought of the Michigan Women's Music Festival, which was a safe haven, a life-giving force, and a place of renewal for me for a span of over 30 years. I thought of what we called the Crick, which ran through the land we farmed and was actually the South Fork of the Watonwan River, a place I would often walk or bike to when I needed solace or just to watch the sunset. But then I thought of the radio show that I produced and hosted for 25 years, first on WVPE and then on WGCS. A women's circle gave voice to a wide variety of ideas, musical genres, and women who basically had no presence on the airwaves. Many of these women worked for justice, not only in their communities, but also around the world. By immersing myself in their life's work and spending time listening to their lyrics, I was able to feel surrounded and supported by exceptionally creative and strong women here in this community in northern Indiana, where I was never quite sure if people thought I fit in. My first introduction to women's music was while I was a student at Goshen College. Back then, WGCS aired classical music during the day and raucous student-produced shows in the evenings. Synthesis aired late at night and was often hosted by men and featured mostly male voices. But one year, during Women's History Month, a group of women from women's history class were given a synthesis show to play only women's music. The first song I heard was by Sweet Honey and the Rock and called More Than a Paycheck, and I was blown away by their voices, harmonies, and their message. The second song I heard was Song of the Soul by Chris Williamson. I then discovered the women's music distributors Lady Slipper and Goldenrod Records and immediately ordered Chris Williamson's record, Changer in the Changed. Sometimes it takes a rainy day just to let you know everything's going to be all right. Filling up and spilling over, it's an endless waterfall, like the rain falling on the ground, are lyrics from her song, Waterfall, on that album. And later, Meg Christian's song, Can We Be Like Drops of Water Falling on the Ground, Splashing, Breaking, Dispersing in Air, Weaker by Far than Stone, but be aware that as time goes by, the rock will wear away, and the water comes again. Many thanks to Jewel Fraze, Janet Crable, and Corey Miller for giving me the impetus and drive to produce and host a show of my own that would air weekly rather than annually, just during Women's History Month. For various reasons, I quit producing Women's Circle several years ago. It had a good run for 25 years. During these last few tumultuous years, I've often wished I still had that voice and had kept up with the current music of the new generation of strong women who make their voices heard through music. There was a time I waited in line to speak to Rhiannon, who was autographing her CDs at the Michigan Women's Music Festival. I had nothing for her to sign. I just wanted to let her know how much her music meant to me. She grew up near the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, and her songs of her love of the prairies hit my very soul in ways I felt a lot of people in Indiana didn't have a clue. But when I finally reached her table, and she looked up at me expectantly, all I could do was burst into tears and sob, trying to get my words out. It came as a complete surprise to both of us. Here's an excerpt from her song, Love of the Land, from her recording titled Toward Home. And although she has a most amazing voice, this song is her basically reciting the words. I never missed the plains till I realized riding through there at 35 that I loved this land. You laugh when I say that about these flat cornfields, the endless squares of crops growing, cows standing, men with heavy boots, silage-smelling bib overalls sucking their teeth. Big chests, red faces, rough hands, women in plain cotton print dresses, children hanging off them, busy with their hands all the time, big hands, plain hair, plain features. I was so ashamed of that plainness, old before their time, built low to the ground like they were crops coming up out of the earth. Miraculous people and sturdy, you've got to be. There's no mercy from the wind blowing out of the big sky. Only a few trees make it, those mulberry trees, sitting way up high in those berry trees till my tongue is purple from the fruit and singing. You know they give the weather before the news on the radio. Too much rain, too little, our lives depend on it. No matter how far away I go, and I went as far away as I could, Hawaii, I think about the corn growing. Bless this land I come from. It taught me that I better learn how to fix whatever's wrong because life goes on no matter what. That's how it is. My family finally loves me, but they have a hard time telling me in words I can hear and hold. My mama told me, put one foot in front of the other, but what I wanted to hear was, fly, you can do it. So I follow my own dreams the best way I know how, and I love the land wherever I am. Love the land, mother of us, love the land, that's all. A women's circle had a strong core of loyal listeners. There was quite an uproar in 1990 when WVPE canceled the show and other locally produced shows to make room for NPR, and many of those loyal listeners were there again when WGCS picked up the show. Recently, after lamenting that voice I once had to one of those loyal listeners, I was told he'd recorded many of the shows, and he gifted me an MP3 filled with show after show after show. I've been listening to the recordings on my way to and from work, and it's interesting to me how my long-ago self is now providing needed nourishment to my present soul. As I've mentioned during prior storytelling times here, as a child, I was part of an extensive King James Bible memorization program in elementary school. The passage that was recited most often was the 23rd Psalm, which I am usually still able to recite today, 50-some years later. He leadeth me beside still waters has been my earworm for the last few weeks. I expect many of you have memorized this passage as well. It's what was recited by those of us who were surrounding my mother just minutes before her death, all recited together. It's been a wish of mine for some time for all of us in assembly to recite this together in any language or translation you may have learned the passage, inclusive language or not. May the healing rivers be a life-giving force now and forever. Please recite with me if you're able. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down between. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.